Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarrosEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that are tuning into my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're into great authors, children's books, filmmakers, or photography, we got my dear friend, author, filmmaker, photographer of the new book, Searching for Polaris, Ryan Harford, coming to the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starrosentertainment.tv. That's www.starrosentertainment.tv. Or if you want to see some of our in-studio guest photos, such as our lovely awesome guest of the hour, Ryan Harford, go to our Facebook page over on Star Wars Entertainment. And then also, if you'd like to email me if you like the music we're going to be playing, or you just like to make some nice positive comments or something of that nature, I really like reading some off the air. So I always appreciate some of your guys's nice little fan mail kind of stuff. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And last but not least, if you want to hit us up, hit me up on socials, that's on Twitter at Tyrone Tan, over on Twitter, T-Y-R-O-N-E, T-A-N is Nancy, and is Nancy. And then thanks to the hacker there, Tyrone Tan Official, over on Instagram. And then there's this new thing called Threads, that's at Tyrone Tan Official over on Threads. And then last but not least, if you really want to hit me up on Facebook, again, that is Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. So again, without further ado, we want to say thank you to all the awesome guest co-hosts that we've had throughout the seasons. We always like to rotate them. I want to say thank you all that have come on. We don't have a guest host today, but I do want to say thank you for those that have been coming on. It's always fun having you guys on. And then what I'm going to be doing, and also there's some great news in the entertainment industry. There's been an announcement that the strike, I think, is about to be over, so to speak. They just announced. So we'll see how that goes. But I just want to say congrats to all the people out there that have been fighting for the Screen Actors Guild and all kind of good stuff. But just all those people that have been supporting all that as well, and people that have been banding together in the entertainment industry, so to speak, and then, being there for one another. So again, congrats. So that's pretty much it. What we're going to do, we're going to kind of just go straight into it. Normally, I'm going to do a quick movie review. That's on a film that's out there right now before bringing in our guests of the hour. And normally I like to do some banter with some of my guest co-hosts. But I just saw this actually last night. And actually this is by A24, which is actually pretty much like an indie type film, I believe. But this is called, it's called Priscilla. And it's, like I said, it's out there. And I got to check this out. So I want to do a quick review. Again, it's Priscilla, rated R. And here's a little synopsis, thanks to IMDb. When teenage Priscilla Belew, I do apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, meets Elvis Presley, the man who is already a meteoric rock and roll superstar, becomes someone entirely unexpected in private moments, a thrilling crush, an ally in loneliness, and vulnerable best friend. Directed by Sofia Coppola and starring Kaylee Spaney and Jacob Elordi, Ari Cohen, and a plethora of other great talent. I got to check this out last night, and I actually enjoyed it. I was a big fan of the Elvis movie, and I wanted to see this out. And I see this one just to see, this is the take on Priscilla Presley's point of view, so to speak. And you know, I had a blessed honor and be able to interview her in the past, and I kind of want, she was a lovely person, and I wanted to kind of check out what this was about. And I actually enjoyed it. I actually really enjoyed the actor who played Elvis in this one, Jacob Elordi, and I thought he did a really good job. And I know I didn't want to compare him to anyone else that had done it before, but I thought he did. I thought he physically kind of looked like Elvis. I thought he did a great job. And I think also the one that played Priscilla Presley, Kaylee Spaney, did also great. And I am a fan of Sofia Coppola's work, so I enjoyed this as well. It's obviously, it's not the same as, quote unquote, the Elvis movie that came out with Baz Luhrmann. But again, it is it's a different point of view and a different type of movie. But I highly recommend checking out if you like, if you're an Elvis fan or a Priscilla Presley fan, or just like good films. I say check it out. So that's my opinion. So, all right. So without further ado, again, that's called Priscilla. It's rated R. It's out there in theaters. Check that out. And we're going to be bringing in my guest of the hour. Again, he's an author. He is a filmmaker. He is a photographer. But mostly he's also a dear friend. You know, we've been, I guess, working on getting him on for a while. And now he's got this book called Searching for Polaris, which is out there in bookstores as well as an online. You can check it out. But I'm thinking we're going to bring him in traditionally. Sometimes we bring people in on Millennium Falcons, limos, hang gliders. I think we're bringing him in the traditional route. He's kind of a manly man. So I think we bring him in on a, kind of like a gladiator style kind of a chariot type of thing, you know, make him feel special. So I think that's what we're going to bring him in on, you know, make him feel special, make him feel like that's what we have outside on the studio. We have like the chariots, the horses out there. He's got a fanfare outside. So I think without further ado, we're just going to bring him in. Again, he is an author, filmmaker, photographer. His name is Ryan Hartford. He's got a new book called Searching for Polaris. And we're just going to whistle in and open up the doors on the studio and whistle in on the horses. Here we go on the count of three. Here it comes. Here he comes on the chariot. Waving to all the fans out over there. Oh, stopping for selfies and some autographs. Girls are throwing roses at him. I don't know, girls, if he's taken or not. I don't know. Someone's throwing him numbers. Here he is. Okay, he's coming in, waving to everybody. Coming into the studio, off the chariot. Coming down. Oh, look at that. He's all flexing. He's over there flexing. Here he comes into the studio with books in hand. Here he is. Author, filmmaker, photographer, and mostly my dear friend. Here he is, Ryan Hartford. Welcome, Ryan Hartford, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, man.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Oh, it's great. I was flexing my noodle arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
your new arms?
I got noodle arms.
Noodle arms.
I got one number out there, just one. Yeah.
No, I've seen pictures, man. I think that. Yeah, I see some cut off sleeves somewhere sometimes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, welcome. So, welcome to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Yeah, finally.
I know. Thanks for finally having me on. It's such an honor to be here. Yeah. And especially on the day that the actor strike is over. It's awesome. Great day.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I know we've been kind of talking about this for a while, and then you got this cool book. But before that, what we want to do is get the audience get to know you, hopefully, if not fans, become fans of you already. And then hopefully get to follow your stuff as well as hopefully pick up your new book called Searching for Polaris.
Oh, that'd be
so
great.
But before we want to do that, we want to start off with, I don't know if your people talk to my people, if you got the memo. The memo is, here we go. We start off pretty hard here, okay? The hard-hitting question is, where are you born and raised?
Born and raised, oh. I was born in Minnesota.
Really?
And actually, I have six people in my family, and all of us were born in a different state.
In Minnesota? I mean, no, not in Minnesota. I mean, in...
In the U.S.
No, no, I'm saying you're going to do it. No, Minnesota, I'm saying different cities in Minnesota. No. But he said different states.
Yeah.
They got it.
Different
okay.
States.
Wow. And then did you just figure that out early on, or was that something that you kind of like, you know, researched and go, oh, you know.
I pieced it together. You know, I measured the accents that all of us have, and I was like, oh, we definitely weren't born in the same state. And no, I just eventually just figured it out. Yeah, it's...
Now, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be in entertainment, or what was your goal originally?
Yeah, that's a great question. I loved art growing up.
Okay.
I loved it. And so, you know, it's funny because I used to think that special effects, I watched Jurassic Park, and okay. I used to think that was a button on the camera that created the special effects.
Oh, so you thought when you just watched a movie.
I watched the movie.
Someone just pressed the button and then.
That's how they created special effects. I was, you know, in my 20s when I thought that. no, and so I always had kind of a fascination of figuring out, like, how did they actually do that? And I think that's kind of led to my curiosity in the film industry. And that curiosity started at a pretty young age.
Mm-hmm. Now, for you, was there someone that inspired you to get in the entertainment industry? Because I know you're not only, obviously, you're an author, but you're a filmmaker and a photographer. What do you think that you wanted to dabble in first? Because knowing you, obviously, I know the book is new, but I mean, in general, what do you think was your first kind of love and passion?
Yeah, well, I started making like stop motion films in high school.
Oh, really?
My first big purchase, like all my friends were buying cars and I bought a computer. And it happened to have editing software, Movie Maker, whatever. And then I was like, well, I have the software. So I bought a camera and then I would make short films with my friend Steve or a few other friends.
Shout out to your friend Steve.
I know, right? it happened kind of probably like high school. Okay. I was really interested in it, and I mean, obviously Spielberg, I mean, everybody's inspired by him in some respect. I mean, he makes such inspirational films.
So what was it, your favorite, what was your favorite Spielberg film?
I mean, probably the most pivotal film in my life is probably Jurassic Park. So I saw that and I was like, how did they do this?
Yeah,
I just didn't, I mean, it didn't comprehend.
Yeah, the whole, I mean, well, even I think when I saw it was the same kind of thing. I mean, and I grew up watching movies and that was the first time I actually go, wait, because I'm used to stop motion stuff,
right?
And so when Jurassic Park came out, I physically remember seeing that. I think I saw it 6 times in the theater. And I was like going, and I was really trying to go, wait, how did they make that look so real? And then obviously when you look at the behind the scenes, it's just, it was a new breakthrough technology at that time.
Oh, it's unreal.
So, but that's cool. So then now from that, so obviously he was your, you know, first inspiration. Was there other filmmakers as well aside from Steve Spielberg?
Yeah, you know, it's I love Signs.
Signs. Okay, so
when I saw
M. Night Shyamalan film.
Yeah, M. Night. Oh, when I saw Signs. Yeah. I mean, I saw Sixth Sense, but Signs was really what did it for me because I felt like that movie is so layered. And I wanted to make films that meant something, mm-hmm. where it's just like one moment could mean something different to different people. And then also down throughout the film, it takes you on a journey of like exploration. So by the end of it, you're like wanting to watch it.
Now for you, because I know some people have the different views on this. When they did you like the fact that they showed the alien, or did they not show the alien for those?
There's not a moment in Signs that I didn't like.
Okay.
I love that movie. And I know a lot of, I might get a lot of slack because of the water thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought Signs was probably my perfect movie. You know, there's that one movie that people say is their perfect. I think Signs or, you know, I think that's probably it.
Well, that's awesome. No, I liked it too. I just remember like people not criticize, but it had comments.
Yeah.
Sometimes they didn't want to see the alien, or maybe they did want to see the alien, that kind of thing. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe in aliens?
that's a great question. Yeah, I'd have to. I mean, the universe is so huge. I mean, to think we're the only one. I mean, I think there's aliens here, like octopus.
Gotcha.
That's got to be some kind of alien, right?
Well, I hear there's thousands of different creatures that we still don't know that are in the ocean.
And there's a reason why we're not describing it. It's because they're coming, right?
No, hopefully not. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
No, that's scary. Yeah.
But
no,
let's change the subject. So Spielberg and M. Night Shyamalan. How about actors or actresses? Is there anyone that inspired you to maybe you want to work with them, so to speak?
Because
did you ever have a? Did you ever? I mean, I think I know this personally, but for the audience, did you ever have any interest in the acting field?
Oh, yeah, that's actually, I did. I did want to act in high school. That's why I made films.
Mm, so was your passion acting first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Acting was first. I mean, I loved filmmaking, mm-hmm. and I think that's kind of what's kind of blossomed into something. But acting is kind of the reason, like the kind of driving force.
Okay.
So a lot of the films that I started out, I'd write the script. And then I'd hand the camera to somebody and be like, hey, film me, do this.
Okay.
And then the camera work was terrible because it was somebody who didn't care. They're like, you know, working at a restaurant or something. They're holding the camera and it's moving everywhere. Acting, and then, you know, eventually I ended up acting in a couple films, like some like pretty low budget stuff.
Well, so the acting, so who was your inspiration in the acting world, whether it's acting or actor or actress?
You know, it's funny. I never really... I mean, I didn't start, I think I might get a lot of slack for this, but I didn't start respecting the craft of acting until much later in my life.
Mm.
Because you see it growing up and you just, it just seems so natural.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, yeah, anybody could do this. But I started to really respect it much later when I was making films.
Was there an actor, though, that, like, for me, I'll say, when I saw E.T., Henry Thomas,
oh, yeah,
was like a kid, it was like a kid my age sort of thing. He was like, oh, he could do that. I could probably do that. Or like, I grew up with a TV show called Silver Spoons, and Ricky Schroeder was like, there, like, it was that age bracket. So there's someone that I saw on TV that I related to that was kind of the same age bracket that made me want to get into it. So that's what I was saying. Like, is there someone for you, or maybe not, that you were like, you know what, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
Know?
I mean,
or,
I, you know, I think I was like the age of like Even Stevens.
Okay.
So like Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, okay.
And he, after he was in that show, like, he really blew up. And so I felt kind of like
you could,
maybe a little jealous almost.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, because I was like, wow, like this kid who's just kind of in the show and now he's in
movies.
All these great movies. And I think maybe I felt like some like competitiveness, even though like I had there's no competitiveness between us. But.
So then you got it. So obviously in would you say more high school is when you started getting more serious about the filmmaking? Because what made you transition? Obviously, you said because you would try to film yourself and people weren't really holding the camera right, that kind of thing. And then you started to learn the process. So did you go into like a video production class, or how did you start to learn the process of filmmaking?
Yeah, I mean, I think it started out with like spoofs. So me and my buddy would make like The Matrix.
Okay.
And we would do kind of like a spin-off version of that. So that's kind of how we kind of learned. I didn't start really learning until much later because we had like a handy cam. So it wasn't like, we really weren't working with great equipment to begin with. So it was pretty, it took a while.
So then obviously there's filmmaking, the acting side. Where did photography come into play? Because you're also obviously a really good photographer that I know.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's funny because I actually never wanted to be a photographer.
Mm.
I never thought of it as a career. So I, to jump a little further, when I was working at Showtime, I was looking for something to do on the weekends. And so I bought a camera and I was buying all these lenses and it was becoming expensive. And I would go on the weekend and just take photos and I would show them to people and people would be like, like they weren't like that impressed with them, but they were like, oh, these are, you know, there's maybe something here. And then, you know, I just felt like I was starting to get a little bit better each time. And I felt like I wanted to invest a little bit more time with it. And I took a photography class while at Showtime.
Okay.
And I took it, not even thinking I was just there to kind of skip out on work a little bit. But it was fun, but I was just not really that invested to learn.
Got it.
But I was enjoying it. And then it just became something I did as a career.
Well, since you brought up Showtime, you started with the acting, got into the filmmaking, and then you started toying with that. And then you mentioned Showtime. For those that don't know, what was your involvement with Showtime? And then how did you go from the acting, filmmaking into working for a network like that?
Yeah, so when I moved to LA, I just knew it was going to take a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that every single day was going to be tough. And so I emailed my resume out to everybody and I heard back from no one. I tried to do internships. I tried to do PA work, production assistant work. And eventually I ended up getting an unpaid internship at Showtime Networks.
Oh, wow.
For 2 months. And I just treated that job like a full-time job. I wore a tie every single day.
Oh, wow.
I wore slacks, I wore nice shoes, and I was watching 30 Rock at the time, and I was like, Alec Baldwin always talked about, like, dress for the job that you want.
Yeah.
And so I wanted that job. And so I worked every single day like it was my full-time job.
Wow. And did you learn a lot during that time?
It was so eye-opening. I just learned the industry.
Mm. Because what did you perceive working at, let's say, a network like Showtime versus not, and then when you got to be there without divulging a lot of too many details or inside stuff, but what was it that you're like, oh wow, like this is either what I was expecting or not what I was expecting?
I think it was, there was a lot of layers to get something made.
Mm-hmm.
To make a TV show, it really requires a lot of almost luck, mm-hmm. because it takes an agent, it takes a, you know, it takes this, it takes that. And so there's a lot of layers between me, someone who's just out of college and moving to LA, and someone who's actually making shows. And I think that was like the most eye-opening thing. And so being at Showtime, I was watching all these people who were very successful around me, but I just felt like I wasn't quite hitting that ceiling.
Mm. And then what, from that point, now you also, you move into, what made you move from where you're from to LA in the first place?
Oh,
was
yeah.
it for the industry, or was it just you just wanted to get out of there?
Yeah, I think it was, I think I was ready for it. I mean, I went to film school, and so it seemed like the most, the place with the most potential had to be LA. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like this is the most natural pivot. But I honestly, I was very reluctant to move here because I heard so much about traffic. Yeah. And so, and I, if you know anything about me, I hate standing in lines.
Okay.
I do not like lines. So I was.
Well, yeah, it's funny. We hang out all the time, but I don't think we've ever had to stand in line for something. So I didn't really know that about you. So, like, we'll hang out and go somewhere else, but I mean, we'll hang out somewhere. I don't think we've had to, we hadn't go to like a Disneyland or anything like that, or even, but no. So, so that's a factoid for myself to know.
Yeah.
So now I know not to go to like a amusement park with you.
I don't like lines, no.
Okay. But anyway, so continue for.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, that was basically, I moved, like, why did I move to LA?
Well, yeah. Well, what was the spawning point? Where was it? Like, where you just said, "I'm gonna leave right now. I gotta go."
Oh, so I was living in a house. So I was in a house in the basement. I had a mattress on the floor of a concrete. It was just on the floor. I mean, it was, and there was like no walls. There was just luggage and stuff. It was like a storage area, mm-hmm. and I had just was sleeping on the floor on a mattress. And I lifted up some blankets at one point. There were some spiders under my pillow. There was actually one under my pillow and then one at my feet. I think they were trying to
wow.
assassinate me. But yeah, so the owner of that house, he goes, you know, because I had to leave. Mm-hmm. I went on tour with Walgreens. I was doing health tests
okay.
all over the U.S. for like 2 years. So all my stuff was there. So I came back after that was finished and I was like, I got to go move on with my life. And he's like, hey, man, like, you can't live here anymore. And so I was like, well, why? And he's like, oh, there's not enough room. But wow. I was on the floor in the basement. Anyway, so I was like, all right, well, if I don't have a place to live here, then I guess I have to go somewhere. And I was like, well, when do you want me to leave? And he's like, in a week.
Wow.
So I just grabbed my stuff. I put it all in my Pontiac Grand Am.
Wow.
And shoved everything in there. And it all fit. I didn't have that much stuff. I was probably like 22 at that okay. point. And then I just drove out to LA. I think that's kind of like the most like common LA story, just coming out here with nothing.
And did you know where you were going to be or go, or like where you going to like live or work or anything like that?
Yeah, yeah. So I was lucky. I had an uncle that lived out here.
Okay.
And so I lived with my uncle for a year. And so that was a huge up. I mean, obviously, it wasn't yeah. like I just came out here on a whim.
Yeah.
Lived on the beach or anything like that. I lived with my uncle, and that was good. Yeah.
Wow. Now, was your family supportive? I don't know. Do you have brothers or sisters, or you know that kind of thing, or on your career choice, so to speak?
Yeah, that's always an interesting question. I mean, anybody who goes into an art field, I think the family's always kind of concerned about that. Like, how are you going to make money? Mm-hmm. And I make money by selling, you know, paintings at Venice. So, I mean, that's.
Did you?
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, just like that's kind of like, I think that's a mentality.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, my kids are out like being a starving artist out in LA, like living on the beach, like all the, you know, the bums. But I think there was some concern. And I mean, I went to film school, so they kind of already knew I was like going down that path of doom. But. But.
No, that's awesome. But then, you kind of got their blessings, so to speak, or you just kind of said, I'm out of here. It's okay, mom and dad.
That's an interesting question. I mean, yeah, I think they were okay with whatever I did. I didn't really ask them for much.
Got it.
I didn't ask them for like gas money to come out here to LA or anything like that. I've never asked them for rent. So I think they're okay with me just doing whatever I need to do to get by. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's cool. So then you got out here, and all of a sudden you just start. And then you how quickly did you start to work at Showtime, or were you started doing other stuff like as a filmmaker or photographer?
Yeah, actually, so I came out here the summer before I moved here. So I came out here, I lived here for 2 months, then I moved back to Kansas, finished my school, and then came back out here. Well, when I was out here the first time, I worked for a promotional company to promote Dexter at Comic-Con.
Okay.
And so that promotional company gave me an opportunity to work the after party.
Mm.
So they had all the Showtime execs and all the actors. Michael C. Hall was there from Dexter, one of my favorite shows. Yeah. And so I, you know, I just took my shot and I met the marketing person. I said, "Hey, I'm Ryan." And she's like, "Hey, here's my card." And so when I moved out here the second time, I literally, I just emailed everybody. I'd wake up at 7 or 8, email everybody I could until 8 o'clock at night, every single day. I just couldn't get any job. I couldn't get work. And so I eventually pulled that card out. I was like, well, you know, I'll just email her and see what happens. And I emailed her and she said, "Hey, we've got some internships. They're unpaid, but you can apply."
Yeah.
And she passed my resume along and I was very fortunate and lucky that she did that.
Wow. That's awesome. So what we're going to be doing, we're going to end up on that, and then we're going to obviously talk more and get into nitty-gritty about your new book called Searching for Polaris, which you could get. It's actually on bookstores right now.
That, yeah, it's on Amazon.
And then on Amazon?
I'm getting a shipment at the end of the month, okay. So they're kind of slowly going out there, but it will be available at the beginning of December, ready for Christmas.
Okay.
And there are a few bookstores carrying it, and I'm working on some bigger ones.
Awesome. So what we're going to do, we'll talk more about that again. So again, you could just check it out so far. We'll keep plugging this throughout the show. It's called Searching for Polaris, written and created by Ryan Harford and illustrated by Victor Tavares. We'll give him a shout out there. We'll talk more about this and how you got this going. Before you want to do, you want me to do a favor? My guest host is not here. You want to introduce this song then?
Here I'd love to.
Here we go. We're going to hand this over. Let's see how you do. All right. So this is the song we're going to be playing for the hour. The intro from our guest of the hour. So let's introduce this.
All right, let's listen to Dragon by Valerie Pascal.
Ooh, wow, you got that pretty good.
Let's go.
Okay, so again, this is Valerie Pascal. She was one of our guests. She was actually just on. She's been actually on a number of times. And, you know, she's a dear friend. And like I said, this is Dragon by Valerie Pascal. And we're going to have Ryan introduce us one more time.
Dragon by Valerie Pascal.
Right, and we'll be
let's
back.
Go.
Yeah, okay. And we'll be back more with Ryan Harford, author of the new book, Searching for Polaris. We'll be right back. Here we go. And this is Dragon by Valerie Pascal and Ryan Harford, the author of Searching for Polaris. We'll be back. Okay, ready, guys?
All genres, all indie. Now listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Say that one volley in my ear. Say
All right, that was Dragon by Valerie Pascal. Again, if you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com.
That's great.
That's Dragon, again, by Valerie Pascal. The way you spell that is V-A-L-E-R-I-E, and then Pascal, P as in Paul, A-S-C-A-L-E. Again, the song's called Dragon. Again, but if you really, really like that song, check her out, Valerie Pascal. Check out, she's got music videos out there on YouTube, and she's got stuff on Spotify, all that kind of good stuff, but check her out on social medias. Again, it's Valerie Pascal, lovely guest, awesome dear friend as well. So again, the song is Dragon. Let me know what you think. We are back here with my guest of the hour, author, filmmaker, photographer, dear friend, Ryan Harford. Welcome back.
Oh, that was a great song. Oh.
Yeah. Speaking of, what kind of music do you like? I mean, what is your kind of?
I like that.
Really?
I like that. I mean, yeah, I like oldie rock.
Okay, like name some kind of bands or singers that you like.
AC/DC.
Okay,
I love AC/DC. And maybe like some EDC a little bit. I don't want to get too crazy with that, but I like it. Yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. And then since you drove all the way to cross the state lines to come to LA, what was your playlist, so to speak, that you
do
you remember?
Probably just a California playlist. I mean, I know that sounds kind of lame, but like Californication and
California.
Yeah, what's the name of that song?
I think it was the theme for the OC.
That's the song I was thinking, yeah, but I can't remember what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, the OC show. Was that the real or whatever that TV series was?
Yeah, the OC. Yeah, yeah. You know.
But well, cool. So we're back here. So let's talk about. Okay, so you went from obviously started off in the acting field, then you went to filmmaking, and then you dabbled into photography, so to speak. Well, let's go back to like so. We kind of met. I mean, you got into also media, so to speak. Would you say that, or because we kind of met at an event?
Yeah. So I was covering an event for Make-A-Wish
Foundation,
and that was at Disneyland.
Yeah, but so how did you get into that field? Like as because you're doing some media coverage, which a lot of people, it's like there's red carpet, and then obviously the celebrities that come through the red carpets and events, and then obviously there's the media, which are photographers and videographers, etc. And obviously I've been blessed and fortunate through the years to be able to do that kind of stuff. But that's kind of how we met. So
that's right.
you were covering for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah, it's funny because I was there to shoot a kind of a sizzle video. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, they were like, "Hey, are you with E? Like E Entertainment?" And I was like, "I don't think so. I'm just here to shoot a video, like a sizzle reel." And they're like, "No, you're with E tonight." And I was like, "Oh, well, I have this like little DSLR camera and a little microphone." And I was like, "I don't think this is right." And so I set up my tripod. Luckily, I brought it because I was just going to run around and do footage. But luckily I had some of the stuff, and that is a good lesson. Always be prepared.
So you ended up covering something for something you didn't even know you were going to be covering with, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But so, and then that was the time, I think, that was when Mark Hamill showed up.
Mark Hamill came and they were like, "Yeah, sorry, everybody." Cause I think that's why you were there, is to interview Mark Hamill. And
I was covering the event, but yeah, he was one of the draws for me to cover that event.
Yeah. And they came out and they're like, only two people are going to be interviewing Mark Hamill, and one is this outlet, and then the other one was me, and they pointed to me, and I had my little tripod and my little camera and my little microphone. It's seriously like one of those little mini microphones, and I was like, okay, well, let's go. And so I was very lucky to get that interview.
That's awesome.
And then about 2 weeks later, it was on Extra.
Got it. Awesome. Well, that's cool. And then, but that's kind of how we first met. And then, but but how did you get into the shooting for the like Make-A-Wish? Was that something?
Yeah, I met the social media manager or the media coordinator at Make-A-Wish, mm-hmm. and I started doing like their wish days, mm-hmm. and then it kind of moved toward doing the wishes, mm-hmm. and so I got a photograph like. One kid wanted to be a marine biologist, so they took him down to the aquarium, and he got to pet an octopus or feed an otter, like a sea otter, and it was great. And one kid wanted to be a conductor for a train, so he walked around the engine, and they told him about it and stuff. It was really cool, and so I kind of just did that, and I've been working with Make-A-Wish for the last 4 or 5 years now. Yeah, I've been with them for a while.
Awesome. And then you obviously you kind of got into the more on the red carpet stuff, did a lot of photography for the red carpet stuff, and you got to shoot a lot of great celebrities for people that out there that get excited over that. Like who are people so far on the red carpets that you got to shoot yourself that were highlights for you?
Oh, I mean, I got Harrison Ford, mm-hmm. which that was a dream come true.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's a hero.
Yeah.
I've done like Tom Hanks, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a hero of mine.
That's awesome.
I've got to photograph some pretty cool people through the red carpet stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, now let's go from the red carpet stuff talking about this kind of stuff, your book.
Oh, it's yeah, kind my of, book.
Let's
yeah.
just transition because you're shooting stars, and now you actually star yourself in your own right as an author of your new book, Searching for Polaris. So tell the audience how this came about, what inspired you to do this book, and talk about the actual book itself, what it's about.
Yeah, so when I was in college, I was in an animation class, and so I was assigned a project to make an animation. So I made this short animation called Lyle's Last Asteroid. Okay. And so I made that, and it was kind of crude. It wasn't like the best looking animation, but I needed a follow-up. And watching a lot of Pixar movies growing up, I was very inspired by that. And so I wrote Searching for Polaris as my first real animated film. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote it as a script, and then I started drawing it. And it looked about as bad as the first one. so I tabled it. It was in my hard drive for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And I've had people kind of suggest I make it into a book, but I was always kind of reluctant. And I eventually pitched it to a friend at DreamWorks, and he said, well, the best way to do it is make a book, like everybody else is suggesting. So I was like, you know what? That's what I'll do. I'll just make a book, and then, you know, at least I'll have something that I can kind of pitch around, and hopefully yeah. someone will gravitate to the story. And so that's kind of how Searching for Polaris came about. And it's basically taken 10 years to make this.
So let's tell the audience a little bit about the story of Searching for Polaris, at least in the book version, because obviously you said you made it as a script version.
Yeah, it's a short script. It was like 15, 20 pages.
Okay.
It started off as being kind of a folklore, kind of this tale of this bear and this boy. And I just wanted Polaris in there somewhere. And so it kind of just organically kind of shaped, and some new elements to this book that weren't actually in the script.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say because it might ruin the book. But it's about a boy who runs away from home. And his mom is pregnant, and he feels scared he's being replaced. And so the bear suggests that maybe he should be a bear. And so that's what he does.
Wow. Well, I saw the artwork as well. So then how long was the process of actually writing the book itself, from obviously the short story that you had and then to actually making into the book? Because I remember when you told me about this, and I remember that part. But for the audience that does not know, from the incarnations of obviously you put it away for about 10 years, and then you're like, I'm going to go write the book. And what spawned you just go, I'm just going to write the book right now? Because I remember the day when you actually told me you were going to do it.
It was a lot of time. It was a lot of time that passed. I think it was, I don't know. I felt like it just needed to be done. I felt like I should just not talk about it anymore, and I just should make it. Yeah, and actually it took a while to write it into a book.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of parameters when you're writing a kid's book.
That's what you got to know. It is a kid's book for people that don't know.
It's a kid's book. It's a picture book. And one, I love art. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that I'm kind of in the art realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my artist sending me art every week. And that was so exciting for me.
Let's give a shout out to your artist. Who's your artist?
Victor Tavares. He lives in Brazil.
Victor Tavares, what's up?
I love that guy. He is the nicest person I think I've ever met. He's so kind-hearted. Just working with him was such a joy. I actually was like, hey, I gotta meet you. And he's like, yeah, come out to Brazil. I've got an extra room. You can always come out here anytime you want. So I might have to just go out there.
Oh, so you have not, but didn't you go to Brazil at one point?
So he lives in Brasilia.
Oh, okay.
Which is the capital of Brazil.
Okay.
I went to Rio de Janeiro.
Got it.
Which is very far.
Got it.
Brazil's huge. And so I was trying to make it up there, but it's not even, it's a really long flight too. It's like 6 hours long.
Yeah. Now, well, how did you connect with that particular, you know, artist?
Yeah, I found him on Fiverr.
Wow.
And he was a little more expensive than the other artists. And so what I did is I had five or six artists give me concepts, and I kind of worked with the different artists to kind of shape it. But even though his was the most expensive, I just was, fell in love. I fell in love with his art, and I fell in love with him. Like, he's such a good, I wanted to work with somebody who had a good heart.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then, so you had the story. It took you about how long you think to write the actual book itself, and then before you got the artist?
I think to change it from to adapt it from a script to a book, it took maybe 3 months.
Okay.
But even as I was getting the art in, the book was still shaped. So it might have taken like 6 months to really zero in on something that I was like really excited about.
And then from that point, then you got the artist. From that point, from what we have now, the book in our hands, so to speak, what was that process from that, from the conception to now out there in bookstores now, and or people being able to buy it?
Yeah. I think I started this process maybe at the beginning of this year. So around January, I was starting to like get the art together and starting to kind of move forward with it. And I thought I'd have the book in hand in October. And I just got the book last week. So it's been a long process.
It's long, but not as long as, it wasn't years at least, you know?
Well,
In that sense. So, but I mean, which is cool, because I'm proud of you for doing that. And obviously it's now people can check it out. So now you finish this book, Searching for Polaris. You see the artwork, you see it now, you know, some bookstores, that kind of stuff. Now, what's the, is it what you felt? Is it what you were feeling it was going to feel like? Or what's your feeling and thought about now having your first children's book, so to speak?
And that's a great question. It's funny because I wasn't sure how I would feel. I know that I love it, but I don't have a real emotion with it. I think it's out there.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to get a whole lot of feedback from it yet still. So I'm still kind of like on the edge of my chair, just like waiting to hear what people think. But I don't have like a real emotion tied to it.
Well, it's going to be interesting. What happens if it becomes one of those like books, like, you know, you see in elementary schools and people like, you know, like how they do with Charlotte's Webs and people, teachers actually reading it to their kids. I mean, I think that's going to be kind of interesting, because I see the artwork, and if you guys haven't seen this, again, check it out. It's a really cute book. If you got children, or if you're just like a childlike person that you just love children's books, it's got great art, great story, and it's a really cool book. I mean, so I think, you know, for people out there, I think you should definitely check it out. But, you know, how you feel about if it becomes, you have this legacy of you know, maybe children loving this thing?
Oh, man. I mean, obviously that's a goal.
Yeah.
And I think like, having art that people see is the goal. And so, you know, I made it to be seen, and so I really hope that it gets some legs. And it's self-published, so I fundraised through Kickstarter to get the money for this the book, and that took a while, and that was hard work, but it's very hard to get a self-published book out there. Like Barnes and Noble generally doesn't take self-published books. And so It feels like another uphill battle to get it out there, but I'm going to do everything I can to get it to make it successful. And I did write it for not only kids, but I want adults to really enjoy it. I wrote it kind of like a Pixar film, in a sense, because that's how I wanted it to be, is right, a Pixar film. So I want it to be enjoyed by everybody.
So people could check it out. They could go to it's out available in some bookstores right now, but then also on Amazon. You said Amazon.com that they could check it out.
It's on Amazon.
It's called Searching for Polaris. And then does it have a certain price for anything for people that want to get it? Or?
Yeah, make sure you're searching for Polaris Ryan Hartford. Make sure you put my name in there, because there's a lot of Polaris stuff that kind of pops up. Yeah, it kind of gets pushed down behind a bunch of other stuff. And also, I don't have any copies to sell yet.
Oh, okay.
So it's unavailable right now for Amazon, but it will be available in 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. So
before Christmas.
Okay. So before Christmas. So we're pumping it right now.
We're pumping it out.
Hopefully put it in the
wish list,
the ether, and then the mentality right now. It's called Searching for Polaris. Again, it's a children's book, which is a great artwork. And again, shout out to Victor Tavares. Again, that's your artist. Written by and created by Ryan Hartford. Again, so if you want to check it out when you look online, it's called Searching for Polaris, and then by Ryan Hartford. And then you got websites as well, social media, anything like that?
You could check out my photography, ecliptic.mediaphoto.net. Okay. And my book is also on my website
and
as well.
And it's Ecliptic Media, which is ECLIPTIC, and then media, MEDIA, photo, PHOTO, .net. Ecliptic Media,
yeah.
Photo.net. Check out his photography work. And then you want to do obviously more films, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's my next project is more film stuff.
What's the ideal film you want to do? Like what would be the ultimate kind of, put it out there. What kind of film would you like to direct?
Yeah, I think something with layers. I wrote a film a while back that maybe I'll start, dusting it off. I wrote it 10 years ago, so I'm kind of dusting off some of my older work to kind of get it out there. But that I think is a potential for the future.
And who would you like to work with if you had a wish list, so to speak, in your film? Is it something that you had in mind?
Yeah, it's funny. It's Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Hopefully he's still doing it.
I heard maybe I read somewhere, maybe I could be wrong. Don't quote me on this. I think I heard he's retiring soon. But
I better get to work. Yeah. I better get to work. And it's funny because the character that I actually wrote, I don't know his name offhand, but the guy, Beneke from Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to work with him. And I think for my main actor, I don't know. I like this idea of working with really talented, amazing actors that people may have not seen as much. And I think he would be awesome to work with.
Awesome. Well, cool. Again, so, well, Ryan, we got like less than 2 minutes left. So time went by quick. So again, they could check out, again, it's called Searching for Polaris. Great children's book written and created by Ryan Hartford, and then illustrated by Victor Tavares. Again, you could check it out. Again, you could either go to Amazon coming up soon, or some bookstores out there, or if you wanted to just do some research and put it in your little maybe Christmas wish list to get as a Christmas gift. Again, you could also go to his website, which is ecliptic.mediaphoto.net. That's ECLIPTICMEDIA photo, PHOTO.net. That's ecliptic.mediaphoto.net. And then you're on Insta and any socials as well?
Yeah, Ecliptic Photo on Instagram. Searching.for.polaris.
Awesome, great. Well, what we like to do, obviously, you were inspired in general. We like to inspire those. And you've heard me ask this question on the red carpets because you were kind of next to me. So what, for you, Ryan Hartford, I don't think I ever got to ask you this. Now, here we go. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to do what you do, maybe whether it's be an author, filmmaker, photographer, or just follow their dreams in general?
Oh, that's a great question. I love it. I love when you ask that question. Be the good in the world. Always strive. People are watching you. And so always strive to be a good influence. And if you're a good influence, then the world is a better place.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you, Ryan Hartford, again, author, filmmaker, photographer, and again, creator of the book, Searching for Polaris. I wish you the best of luck with everything. God bless you, buddy. And again, I want to say thank you to all those listening. I really appreciate all your support and listenership. It always means a lot to me when I see the ratings and all the kind of good stuff. I'm very, very blessed and fortunate to have you guys all there for so many years. So I want to say, thank you. God bless you guys. And again, thank you, Ryan. Best of luck. And God bless you. And then I'd like to end up my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.
Peace.